I've got this thing that the Lord's been stirring in me for about 3 months that Tommy and I've been talking about, and I keep thinking, this is a week, and every week the Lord says, no, not yet. And I'm not sure why we're having to wait, but we're having to wait. So I really didn't have anything today until I sat down there a while ago, and the Lord brought something to my mind and had me look up a scripture that I believe we're supposed to talk about a little bit today. And it's kind of a thing, this is a little bit of a confession of alarm on my part. How many of you would say you're ready for meat? How many of us are meat eaters, and how many of us are still milk eaters? How many of us want to even go on to meat?
Can I puree it?
Is there a desire in us to enjoy the meat of the fellowship with the Lord? Or are we content to be milk drinkers? This is Paul writing to the Hebrews, and he says, "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." This weekend, in an overwhelming way, I talked to Ronnie and Vicki about it Monday, and they had some of the same senses, but I was overcome with alarm about the lack of discernment in the body of Christ. Not being able to discern good from evil. Not being trained to be sensitive to the Spirit to know what's of God and what's not of God. Not how to test it, and how ill-equipped we have become in determining what's of God and what's not. And the alarm was this. We've talked much about the order of God, and how apart from that order you can't have peace, and apart from peace you can't have joy. And we have seen a great improvement in many people's lives with order coming into it, and how peace will begin to. But I realized, apart from this piece of learning how to test the spirits, we're setting them up to be bait for their enemy. Order will bring you peace, you'll have confidence, but if you can't discern the spirits, you become fodder for the demons and for Satan. And so you're going to hear us begin to talk to your patients and to y'all about how to test a word and know if it's from God or if it's from the enemy, and how to test spirits so that you know that the things we're touching are not a trap from Satan. Scripture instructs us to learn to discern the schemes of the devil. I always tell people, if I lay a bear trap out in front of you, more than likely most of you are smart enough to walk around it. Some might not, but most of you are. That's the way we have to be about the schemes of the devil. And the way you do that is through the gift of the discerning of spirits. There's a spiritual gift called the discerning of spirits. Many people have, I'm married to a woman who has high discernment. I mean, she walks in a room and separates sheep and goats pretty quick. But there, beyond that discernment, there is a thing called the discerning of spirits, where you actually can tell whether it's the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, or it's a demonic spirit. And that's something we all need to quicken ourselves to keep from stepping into these traps of Satan. And it was like, the Lord kind of showed us, this has been one of the missing pieces. You're strengthening people, you're helping people. We're all putting forth a standard, but without this discernment, we really are setting people up to be entrapped by the enemy. Because when peace comes, you confidence comes, you kind of let down your guard. But if we're going to be meat eaters, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have had their senses trained to discern good from evil. Now there's a thing that's not good, the knowledge of good and evil. Remember the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? That's not real good for us. That never worked out very good for man. But we're talking about something different here. The ability to discern spiritually. The knowledge is a head knowledge. But this is to discern spiritually from what is of this world and what is of the kingdom. And there's much out there. You know, I have this bad habit of waking up about 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and I turn on TV, and as I'm channel surfing, there's this one guy every night, I don't even know what his name is, and he's got last night it was sowing $273 of seed money into something, and the night before it's 77 or 762, or he's always got a number that he's getting everybody to sow into to get their freedom. The 273 was your healing redemption. You sow this seed, if 7,000 of you, I know there's 7,000 of you out there who wants to sow this, and they're going to get their healing redemption through this. There are people in the body of Christ who's buying that malarkey, who are believing that, because we have no discernment whatsoever. And this guy's on there every night. And it works. I don't know how many people it works on, but it works on some because he's able to stay there every night and do it every night. And that thing feeds in. We've got all kinds of elements of profiting from the name of Christ that permeate the body of Christ, and our failure to discern it keeps these things going. But it also sets us up to be harmed by it. And sets up others to be harmed by it. So, I guess today, I simply want to confess to you my overwhelming alarm for us and my entire body of Christ for the immature state we are in because of our failure to learn to discern. And to prepare you, and for you to prepare your patients, that not only are they going to hear about order, but we're going to start discussing about the testing of spirits and the testing of the Word of God, and how is it when someone hears from the Lord, how do they go about testing it to confirm it that they got it right? Now, I don't doubt any of your ability to hear from God. God is eager to make known His will and His plan. What I'm always concerned with is our ability to interpret what God has said. Because God will tell me something, and I'll inaccurately interpret it through my circumstances and miss what He was really saying. So I have to have a method to test that, to know that my interpretation of it is right. So how do we go about doing that? How do we test what we hear from God? Otherwise, I mean, the real caution there is what we call biblical lawlessness. I'll think every thought that I have is God, and I'll do whatever's right in my own mind. So we have to have some measure of testing. And we're going to want to start talking to y'all about that. Anybody got a proven method for themselves that they use? That you use now to prove and test? You know, Scripture says that we should know the good, the pleasing, and the perfect will of God. There are three levels of His will. And we should know how to test it. So, I mean, any of you have a method you've used? Many of you mature Christians in here that you want to share? What Thomas said was he would take it to someone, either his spiritual father or someone who's more spiritually mature than him in that sphere, if I can say that, and test that.
That's right. But the Bible says, too, in the mouths of two or more witnesses. So when I'm seeking, well, that wasn't really something that worked in my spirit.
That's very good. If it contradicts Scripture, right, it's not God. It is not God. And our interpretation of it is inaccurate. So either the more mature or the Word of God.
Sometimes also just simply sitting on it and waiting,
yep,
to see if somebody is in for you and you're on target.
For the purpose of the tape, what Thomas said was waiting, holding it, to wait and see if the Lord shows it to someone else. Rarely does God show something to one person. He nearly always is showing it to multiple people. Y'all remember last October, I think it was, or October or November, when we were discussing creation here, and we had the discussion about time did not begin till the fourth day when God set up the moon and stars to govern those things. Sam Solon and I have never discussed that together. But on the same day that I was speaking about it here, the Lord had him speaking about it in Cape Town, South Africa, about day four and the beginning of time. He rarely ever tells one person, so you can't always hold it.
I didn't call conviction. No. In my spirit.
Well, Scripture says, my people know my voice. So we can hear his voice. That's the first thing. And I think that's where the conviction comes in. Yeah, you know the voice. Then the interpretation comes. Beyond Scripture, beyond other people, you also in your own life have spiritual markers. If you can turn and look back, and you'll see all these things that God has done in your life, and because they're part of the truth, they'll line up perfectly. And so if this thing you're interpreting doesn't fit in that line, it needs to be tested very clearly.
And that's when you come to your spiritual father, or you test it with someone that you're convicted.
Yeah.
Take it to often. But I think it's that listening to that still small voice of that conviction. Because that's the way God speaks to you. I mean, that's the Spirit.
Yeah.
It can't be
soulish. And Vicki brought, I left it out, but Vicki brought up something else about writing it down.
Mm-hmm.
When you try to write down what God has said to you, you won't be able to get it wrong. It's like the Holy Spirit will nearly restrain your hand. That's why we encourage so many people to journal or write diaries or things like that. If you're writing about your conversation with God, it's nearly impossible to write it incorrectly. So that's it.
He'll often correct you.
Exactly.
Your mind is saying, and then when you begin to write it down, you're like, oh, well, now, where did that? That's okay. That's the interpretation. It's a really wonderful way to do it.
Okay.
My indicator is peace. That if I don't have peace about it, if I got to knock my stomach about it, if it just doesn't set with me real good, I don't throw things away. I let them stay with me a while and see if it brings peace or whatever.
Yeah. Lots of things you have to put it up on a shelf, let it age a little bit, and let God complete it with another word, and then that thing will come down. But it should. The Word of God, amazingly in this, the Word of God, even when it convicts you and confronts you about your sin, possibly, it brings peace because truth sets you free. So the Word of God will always bring in peace. Fear, self-condemnation, anger, rage, all of those things, guilt, those are all, you know, from Satan. That's the wrong voice. But when the Word of God comes, it may break you to the place that you're in tears, but through that will come peace. And that's how you know it's the Word of the God, of God. Because it will never leave you or forsake you. It will never leave you high and dry, if you will. It will always fill you up. And you know, we've all been there. We know God has confronted us about who we were, and we've had to repent. But in that process, it brought has always brought peace and comfort to us. That's who He is. Others? For you men, and I guess it's true for women too, I can't speak from that standpoint since I'm not a woman, but as a man, one of the best testers I've got is right over here. When I say something that I think the Lord has told me, I look over there to see what her eyes do, and I'll know how accurate I've gotten it. So men, when God gave you a wife to complete you, that's one of the things, is to confirm the truth of what He's saying. Women, I assume it works the same way with husbands. Probably not as accurate as it does the other way. But
I think it's more accurate, actually, for me.
Is it? Peels away all your feelings and gives you the meat of the matter. That's good. That's good. Scripture says, if any two of you agree, any two or three, and this what Angie's talking about is very important, when the Holy Spirit tells her, and tells Jack, that's the two or the three. And then it, in Scripture says, so be it. We've got the clear word of the Lord, and the chances of that not coming to pass are zero. When two or three agree, so be it.
So what's the difference in name it and claim it here in the Lord?
Well, in the...
Like last night we joked with Mr. Murdoch.
Yeah, and that two or three is me and you and any other third one we can get that will agree with it. And none of it is done by the voice of God. One of the two or three has to be the Holy Spirit who has the mind of God and will come and say, then that fulfills, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Holy Spirit tells us and we declare it and release it into time and space. But it's really powerful when I declare something and one of y'all say, yes, the Holy Spirit has told me that too. Then we have the three who are declaring it into time and space.
I had one of my, did I interrupt somebody?
No.
I had one of my people that I see said, I wish the Lord would take out the scripture where it says, Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. We prophesied in your name. But away from me, I never knew you. And so I think it's very important that we hear the Lord and not do these things out of our soul or flesh.
Yeah, we need to go look at the Greek word there for name. Okay. I bet it's not. I bet it is name. Where we say, ask anything in my name, it's a different word. Ask anything in my name and it will be given unto you is His character. But that Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name was probably the name of Jesus, not the character of Jesus. If we do it in the character of Jesus, it's going to happen. Because if we're doing it in the character of Jesus, we're only going to do what we see our Father do. We're only going to say what we hear our Father say because that's His nature. That's who He is. And you can, once again, you can guarantee. That's why He says, ask anything in my name and it will be given unto you, my character. But what they were doing was using a system of calling out Jesus and expecting it to make things happen.
Out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Because you were the hands and feet.
Yeah. We talked about it the other day. I was in a group. We were talking about when Peter says, when the crowds ask after being convicted of crucifying Christ, they said, "What should we do?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, we've reduced that to dunking you in water and pulling you up and say, I baptize you in the name of Jesus. But that's not what he meant at all. Be immersed in the character of Jesus. There's other places that the Bible talks about water baptism, but that wasn't one. What Peter was talking about was immerse yourself in the character of Jesus. Take on, be clothed in his character. Repent, change your ways, be clothed in his character, and you will be saved. Salvation doesn't come with water. Salvation comes with blood. So he couldn't have been talking about water. You can't wash sins away with water. But know that you're going to hear us, both y'all and your patients are going to hear us talk much about this discernment and honing in on our ability to discern things, because it's such a complement or such a big part of coming into connection with the order that's coming to the body of Christ. Because order's good and it brings about a lot of peace, but discernment will bring about safety and protection and keep us from having to retreat.
How do you lose your discernment if you ever had
it? Well, what he said was, let's look at the word that he said there. But solid food is for the mature because of practice have had their senses trained to discern good and evil. We view nothing in the natural anymore, we view all things from above. So we're constantly training ourselves, disciplining ourselves, to see things from God's perspective. So the effort, if you will, that is put out on our part is to know our Father so that we can see things the way He does. So the way we lose our discernment is our disconnection from our Father. Read somewhere, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's when we lose our discernment, is when we disconnect ourselves from Christ. So next Wednesday, we won't meet. Shina's got her favorite auditors in town to make her life miserable for a week, so we won't have access to this room because they'll be doing our audit in this room. So we'll take a week off and come back on the 24th, I think. And maybe the Lord will let me share that thing that's been stirring in me for so long. So, thank y'all. See ya. See you in a couple of weeks.